meaningless thought. The shell appears strong, but the inside is rot. It's time to be stirred. The time is now. The winds have changed. Read the signs. No time to hide. The winds have changed.
Millennia ago, from the little cave on the tiny island of Patmos in the Aegean Sea, the heavens opened. Since then, the world has been fascinated by the cosmic upheaval brewing on the horizon of history. The upheaval is now upon us. It is within us. To some degree, it always has been. But there has been a sudden and violent shift in the affairs of the world. The winds have changed.
Okay, all right, we'll do
Heaven
that.
Will not be silent. Let's now join Father first Anthony book. Bush, pastor of St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy in Chicago, and author of A Mother's Plea, For the Winds Have Changed. Together we can pave the way for a hopeful response to the signs of our times.
Everybody, and welcome. Thursday. What? How do we say this? It's
thank God it's almost Friday.
No, but the letters.
I don't know, Father. Don't ask me.
TGA.
I get confused.
TGIA.
F.
TGIA. Fry F. Whatever.
That's why I'm not even going to buy.
I just flew in from my annual meeting with the bishop, which went really, really well. I was happy about that, so thank everybody for prayers. Not that I asked anybody for prayers, but I know you are praying.
Yeah, we were praying, Father.
So what we do is it's an evaluation of the parish and, you know, my life and all that kind
the
of stuff.
Mission,
you know, the
and
mission
everything.
And all that. So things went really well.
That's great.
Happy it's over, but it's exhausting too because you're preparing all the stats and all that kind of stuff, and then of course you don't know, you know how you just
know
don't
how
know.
They're,
it's like you know it's for me it's still like going to the principal's office, right?
The principal or the dean or
yeah,
an interview. But it's pretty much it's an interview,
right? You know, and did anybody, has anybody said anything bad about me? Am I doing anything wrong? And I have, you know. Whatever, we're not even going to go there. But,
yeah.
But it was good. It was really, really good. And so I just got back, and we'll pray. Let's pray. Yeah. And Tony, he's on his way?
He's on his way. He probably's off the highway now.
Okay. So we will pray without him. I include him in our prayers. Let him pray while he's listening to us. I'm sure he's listening.
He's listening.
The radio in the car. So in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
The angel of the Lord declared unto Mary, and she conceived of the Holy Spirit. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it done unto me according to thy word. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Pray for us, O Holy Mother of God, that we may be made worthy of the promises of Christ. Let us pray. Pour forth, we beseech thee, O Lord, thy grace into our hearts, that we to whom the incarnation of Christ, thy Son, was made known by the message of an angel, may by his passion and cross be brought to the glory of his resurrection through the same Christ our Lord. Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One, have mercy on us and on the whole world. Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One, have mercy on us and on the whole world. Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One, have mercy on us and on the whole world. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. Eternal God, in whom mercy is endless, and the treasury of compassion inexhaustible, look kindly upon us, increase your mercy in us at in difficult moments. We might not despair nor become despondent, but with great confidence submit ourselves to your holy will, which is love and mercy itself. O most blessed Virgin Mary, Mother of Mercy, at this most critical time we entrust the United States of America to your loving care. Most Holy Mother, we beg you, reclaim this land for the glory of your Son. Overwhelmed with the burden of the sins of our nation, we cry to you from the depths of our hearts and seek refuge in your motherly protection. Look down with mercy upon us and touch the hearts of our people. Open our minds to great worth of human life and to the freedom and to the responsibilities that accompany human freedom. Free us from the falsehoods that lead to the evil of abortion and threaten the sanctity of family life. Grant our country the wisdom to proclaim that God's law is the foundation on which this nation was founded, and that he alone is the true source of our cherished rights to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. O merciful Mother, give us the strength and the courage to reject the culture of death and the strength to build a new culture of life. And trusting in your most powerful intercession, we pray, remember, O most gracious Virgin Mary, that never was it known that anyone who fled to thy protection, implored thy help, or sought thy intercession, was left unaided. Inspired by this confidence, we fly unto thee, O Virgin of Virgins, our Mother. To thee do we come. Before thee we stand sinful and sorrowful. O Mother of the Word Incarnate, despise not our petitions, but in thy mercy hear and answer us. O Mary conceived without sin,
pray for us who have recourse to thee.
O Mary conceived without sin,
pray for us who have recourse to thee.
O Mary conceived without sin,
pray for us who have recourse to thee.
Saint Joseph,
pray for us.
Saint Stanislaus Kostka,
Pray for us.
Saint Michael the Archangel,
Pray for us.
Saint Fidelis,
Pray for us.
All you angels and saints in heaven,
Pray for us.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
I think today is the feast of Saint Fidelis. I didn't hear you come in.
Yeah, I snuck in.
You sure
just
did.
Snuck
yeah.
in.
Yeah. I'm good.
He
that
walked
way.
Through the door.
I walked right through the door.
Like Jesus.
Actually, that would have been an easier explanation than what I just went through, but that's okay.
What did you just go through?
Well, it's funny. Just sitting here.
Not that we care.
Well, it's,
you don't know. You don't want to know, Father.
Right. And let's see. It's thank God it's almost Friday.
Thank God it's almost Friday.
Yeah. TGIF.
Yeah. Okay.
We're just too tired.
We're too tired.
No,
I just got out of a meeting with a bishop, which was good, but I'm completely exhausted. Right. And Christina.
I didn't really want to get into that.
Right. Well, here, let me.
I wasn't feeling it.
Let me entertain your day because I just realized.
The father's yawning.
Excuse me. I really am.
I just realized now that people, the radio can't see you yawning.
Right.
But it's just, I just realized how God works through an idiot like myself.
Yeah, it's amazing, isn't it?
Right. Because I sat outside and I figured, okay.
So God is a good God, isn't he?
There is a God. He's merciful.
But I was sitting there and I was saying, okay, I know it's show started. I can't, it's not. So how do I ingeniously get in? So I figure, okay, I'll go to the soup kitchen and, the door is always open.
Right.
And, I'll be fine and I'll get in. Well, I got in, but the door was locked.
Oh, really?
So in order to get the door open, we had to find Sister, which I think as I'm sitting there thinking, okay, well, how am I going to do this? Time's going. I really want to get into the prayer. Sister didn't have the key. So, okay.
Wow.
I'm sitting there and he said, oh, you're going to have to help her there, Joanne. She was very nice. You're going to have to call the priest. And I said, well, yeah, that's how I got in this problem because that's when I'm late. This is how it happens. So I'm sitting there and I'm thinking, okay, I have to call the priest, but I'm thinking, wait a minute, I'm down here. Let me make the attempt to go upstairs. I don't know how it snapped in my mind.
Right.
Just go upstairs. And I don't want to give any secrets away to people trying to get to us. But the door was open.
Right.
So I came, okay. So, and I got here perfectly. Well, I slid in. You didn't know I was here.
So you're an idiot, but not nearly as bad as you thought.
Exactly. So the moral of the story is be here on time.
Yeah, but and see, that's the thing. I'm on the expressway, and God forgive me, there are a lot of people that are not very smart driving.
Right.
And I'm sorry to say that, and that was, as I came in here saying, I'm not very smart to get in here. But, you navigate people that I don't know what they're thinking or what.
So speaking of idiots, and I don't know if that's a bad word or not.
No, it's not.
But I was an idiot this morning, too.
We all are, I think.
So
speak for yourself.
So I had to go to St. Patrick's for the meeting, and I went to the, there's a parking lot across from the St. Patrick's on Des Plaines. And so I just drove in, and I parked my car, and thinking, okay, where do I get, where do I pay? Do I pay before or whatever? Mm-hmm. And there was a sign, and it said, pay when you leave.
Right.
So I thought, okay, so I'll do that. So I walked a block down around the corner to the rectory, ringing the doorbell. There's nobody there. Nobody's answering the door. So I thought, well, that's strange. So then I came back around. I'm coming down Des Plaines, and I went to the school. And I walked in, and they had a security guard there. And I said, I'm here. I have a meeting with the bishop and the dean and a finance person for the Archdiocese. And he says, well, I said, I went to the rectory, but the doorbell kept ringing and ringing, and nobody answered the door. So he called somebody and said, oh, yeah, there's somebody that'll come down for you. So we're waiting, and then he said, well, gosh, I don't know what's going on. So we went outside, and then this other guy came, and he said, he's got to go around to the other opposite block around the corner, and there's on 7-Eleven is the name of the address, the 7-Eleven whatever, I forget street it was, Adams, the others, whatever's on the opposite side of Adams. So I finally got in, went up to the third floor. I mean, it's like, this is like getting into Albatross.
Yeah.
Is it Albatross or?
Alcatraz.
Alcatraz. I probably said Albatross.
Albatross is what's around your neck.
Yeah, whatever I said, right. So anyway, so after the meeting, then I went back to the parking lot.
Okay.
And, now, granted, I'm in a formal collar and all that, so it's, I'm clearly identified as a Roman Catholic priest. And drove my car to the place where you pay and realized, well, I'm not quite sure how to do this. So I parked my car in the nearest parking spot, went there, and I'm trying to read this, what to do. And it said, we got to put a ticket in this thing. I said, I don't have a ticket. And so there were two guys that came up behind me, and I says, do you know how you're supposed to? He said, well, you were supposed to pick up a ticket as you came in. I said, I didn't pick up a ticket. And they said, well, you didn't get a ticket then, did you? Because they'll usually give you a ticket if you're in a parking lot. You have to put something in your window. I said, I didn't. They said, well, then get out, then just go. And I says, oh my gosh, says, I've committed a sin, now I've got to go to confession. You know, and they thought that was really funny. They thought that was really, really funny. So you may not think it's funny. I think it was funny too. You did?
Yeah.
But
see, I did something similar, but it's one of those things where you go in, you get the ticket, and if you're there a certain time, it's free.
You're gonna have to get it validated.
Right. You don't have to get it validated, okay. No. But as long as you're there within, because it takes the time. Mm-hmm. So when I got out, I don't know what happened, but they were charging me this enormous fee. And I'm like, I'm not paying that. And I had people in back of me. And it's like, what are you going to do? Pay the ticket?
Yeah. Well, why would you drive into a parking spot? There was no place for a ticket for me to get a ticket where I drove into.
Yeah, that would be the problem. There should have been some place where, you park and then there's one of those boxes.
A lot of parking lots, you have to get a ticket. You can't get in without getting a ticket.
That's what I'm saying. And this was, I was able to just pull right into the parking spot.
Sometimes the parking spot or the parking lot is open and you could actually park there. But if you don't go walk to get that ticket, then... Because you have to pay for that spot. So if they go through there and they see, okay, this car is not signed up, I can give you a ticket.
Yeah, whatever. But I'll go back later and figure it out. I don't know. Yeah, like next year.
It's probably like I wouldn't never go back. Cause if it's that difficult, I wouldn't walk.
Yeah, because whatever. Because I get it where you get a ticket and they put the ticket in the window shield. So that they can see that you're... But anyway, okay, so let's just kind of move away from our idiocy, the idiocy,
idiocy
that life constitutes the reality of who we are.
Yeah.
So I was looking at, actually, this is kind of interesting because I pulled out our mission and vision and core values, and I thought it might be interesting to kind of, having just come from this meeting, to talk about, the state of the parish and people maybe who don't know what we do here, but our mission is, so the parish of St. Stanislaus Kostka, Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy, is quiet refuge from the labor of life's journey where the soul is open to the transforming power of God's abiding presence. Through participation in the sacred mysteries of the Church and through adoration of the Holy Eucharist, enveloped in the iconic monstrance, Our Lady of the Sign, Ark of Mercy, humanity will be restored to its rightful identity as conceived and created in the image and likeness of God, an identity clothed in dignity, nobility, and grace. The grace of the Blessed Sacrament will assist a covenant people on its return to childlike trust in Jesus and inspire enthusiasm for the work of life. That's our mission and vision.
Sums it up pretty good.
It does, doesn't it? And really, this is what... what I wanted to present, because they give you just a series of questions, but basically to maintain, to sustain, and to grow. That's what we want to do. Maintain, sustain, and grow, because we're fulfilling this mission given to us by Our Lady, to have those doors open and to let people come away from the cacophony of the world, the rude noise of the world, to encounter God, the transforming power of God's ever-abiding presence. And to come to that realization that we are, that we'd be restored to our rightful identity as conceived and created in the image and likeness of God, clothed in dignity, nobility, and grace, and that the Blessed Sacrament, God present among us, will assist us, people of a covenant, on its return to childlike trust in Jesus. Because isn't adulthood really trying to get back to the innocence of childhood, to recover our innocence, lost innocence, and also to inspire enthusiasm for the work of life? I think I mentioned yesterday, whenever we were last on the radio.
Tuesday,
either you get in a fight or you choose falsehood and a life of mediocrity. Mm. So there'd be enthusiasm for the battle. But what are the core values of this parish, the sanctuary. The core values is, number one, the need for sacred silence, that God's voice be heard. We live in a world that is inundated with noise. We need sacred silence, that God's voice be heard. Secondly, the Holy Eucharist is God's unique and perfect presence among us. Because the whole, I had the eighth graders and the second graders yesterday, and again with the second graders, they're so beautiful. They're getting ready for the first Holy Communion. But again, as I mentioned before, you got to talk baby talk, and it's really draining. I had eighth graders first. It was great. We had a great class. And I'm not saying we didn't have a good class with the second graders. You'd have to ask them. For my estimation, no, because I'm, you know, why do we have to do first Holy Communion? What does Holy Communion mean? And they just go off into all these things.
Why is it holy? All these questions?
Why is it?
What does it mean, holy? What is a communion? Why do we have to do it? Just a series of questions and So holy is meaning sacred, mm-hmm. But what is sacred? Well, to be of, you know, God is sacred, God is holy, and then we use they were studying the story of Moses going to the burning bush that was not mm-hmm. consumed, and God spoke to him and said, Moses, remove the sandals from your feet, you're on holy ground. So the teacher said, can you explain that to them? And I said, okay, so when we go into the church, what do you do when you first go into the church? And they think, and then
take off our sandals.
Somebody will say, so we don't take our shoes off, but we're going into holy ground. Mm-hmm. We're going into God's house. So what do? And they say, okay, you make the sign of the cross with the holy water. Why do you make the sign of the cross? Because you belong to God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and you wrap yourself in the life of God. Why the holy water? Then they'll ask, why do we have to put our hands in the holy water? What is holy water? Well, water that has been blessed, is made sacred. It's to remind you of your baptismal, that you were baptized. You were baptized by water in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And also, we're coming away from the world where bad things happen. And so it's a way of cleansing ourselves as we come into God's house, a holy house, a sacred place, and to remember that we belong to God, we're part of the family of God. I can say the mystical body of Christ. Well, what is the mystical body of Christ? Or the family of God, okay?
See how you have to choose your words. Yeah.
No, right. And be very specific.
Very specific.
You know, parents, this is what they go through every day on a daily basis, and at when they can't any longer.
God bless
them. Why? Because I said so.
But why?
But why? That's not an answer, but why?
I had a friend. Well, I shouldn't say I had a friend. I have a friend who introduced me to his wife, and automatically, at a time in my life, I automatically turned off to this woman because she kept talking to me like that.
She was a teacher?
Yeah, the idiot that I am, I didn't think about that right away. I just automatically, you know, this lady, I'm getting really aggravated. I'm not one of her kids. I'm not, you know, I'm a grown man.
Sounds like a friend of mine.
And then I stopped and I thought about it. Oh my gosh, she probably deals with children.
Yeah.
And then I started playing the role. I started
going along with it.
Well, that's right. What you have to do.
It's like you can't be upset with someone like that. It's just that you...
Somebody whispers and you find you automatically whisper.
Yeah.
If somebody starts whispering, you whisper back.
Mm-hmm.
But the teacher, God bless her, because she talks that way.
Yeah.
You know? Mm-hmm. And
that's why it's a vocation.
It's a vocation.
I also had another friend that would talk to me and then he would get loud. I says, why are you so loud? No, you don't have to yell. I understand.
Yeah.
Well, he took me over and he introduced me to his father, who is deaf, and I felt horrible.
Right.
It just all made sense.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it's amazing. So then Sherilyn said, okay, so we're in God's house. So what's the next thing we do? We have to kneel down. before we go into the pew. What is a pew?
What is a pew?
The bench, you know, it's where you sit.
When you get up.
Isn't that funny? But you genuflect, you have to, genuflect, that would say you were genuflect. What is genuflect? Well, you kneel down, you kneel down. And why do we kneel down? Because we're in God's house and Jesus is in the tabernacle. What's a tabernacle?
Right.
Yeah. So
That's a never-ending, the bottom line,
yeah, you better believe it. I kept asking the teacher, are we almost done? how many more minutes do we have to go?
Okay, one more question
so
and that's a window.
We invite little Jimmy over to our house, and for some reason, when he goes in, he kneels. Where did he get this from?
And then there are questions like, and we have to wear a white dress for the Holy Communion. Why? Why do we have to wear a white dress? Well, because it's a sign of purity. And, you know, when you were baptized, you were cleansed of all sin. And why do we have to, the teacher said, can you explain to them why they're making Holy Communion at the age of 8 when they're in the second grade, as opposed to when they were in the kindergarten and all that? And then she talked to them. She said, boys and girls, because she was also their kindergarten teacher. Mm-hmm. And when you were in kindergarten, you didn't know right from wrong. We had to teach you right from wrong, and, you know, now you're a little bit older. Now you know, and we use little examples of, you know, you don't want to lie, you don't want to cheat, you don't want to fight, you don't want to exclude somebody, mm-hmm. make somebody feel that they're not wanted. You got to do your chores. I told them, you know, do you have chores to do at home? Yes. Do you have to make a bed in the morning? Yes, some do, some don't. Well, if you don't, then you should. Put your toys away. Yes, put the toys away. Now, can you go out of your... That's what's required of you. But if we're Christians, we want to go beyond. Mm-hmm. We want to do more than what's expected of us. Mm-hmm. So what do you... if the garbage has to go out, can you take the garbage out, even though that's not your job? Some said yes. Some said, well, my parents won't let me take the garbage out. Can you sweep the floor, vacuum the carpet, whatever, take care of the dog? Can you feed the dog? You know, so you have to look at all these little things.
Mm-hmm.
At the end of the day, do you got to think about what did you do during the day? How did I live like Christ, as God wanted me to live? Did I obey the commandments of God? How did I treat each other? If I said a bad word to somebody or called somebody a name, then, you know, we want to ask God to forgive us because we didn't act in the way God wanted us to live. You do the act of contrition. And they know the act of contrition because they've been practicing that.
Wow.
At the end of the day, they do it. They do the old traditional one. So it's really, it's good. So next week we're going into the church on Wednesday. And I'm going to show them all the different parts, and they're going to ask 1,000 questions. You know, speaking about that, you know, I haven't done it this year, but I used to bring the preschoolers and the kindergarten students over to a church and talk about the church and then bring them into the, remember, Christina?
Yes, I remember.
I'd bring them into the rectory. First, I'd go into the sacristy. This is where we prepare for the Mass. These are the vestments, you know, this is what the priest wears, and these are the different colors, and this is why we wear red on this day when we celebrate the feast of a martyr. What's a martyr? One who dies for Christ, and then all that. But you know what, the one thing that then I bring him into the rectory, because we're attached to, now, I said, now we're going into the place where I live, and where we have our offices. And the first place I do is I take them into the chapel. This is my chapel. And they all say, where is your bed? And I say, this is not my bedroom. This is the chapel.
So probably looking like, this is your house. Where?
So then I take them next door is
to
my
your office.
This is my office. But where is your bed?
Father, do you ever sleep?
Then I took him into Christina's office. Christina would be working in the office. This is the secretary's office. This is where she works. But where is your bed? Every room. It's the one question they always ask.
Is this your bed?
Well, they didn't care about it. They just wanted to know
where is your bed?
Do you sleep? Where is your bed?
Right. And we don't go to the upstairs.
And they're
the
probably
cloister.
Like, They're like, are you human, Father?
Yeah. And sometimes I go to the school and they point out, this, do you live over there? That's where you live? Yes. You live in the church? So I live in the church. You know, anyway.
That's why you have to be so patient. I remember my nephew when he was little, and same thing, question after question. And my brother has no patience whatsoever. And he was asking him, he said, you know what? Here's $5. Stop. Here you go. Now, stop asking me questions.
Come to think of it, that's probably why my father always, there are eight of us, he said, children are to be seen but not heard. In other words, I probably told you this story before on the radio, but because I'll never forget this. It was the cutest thing. So we had Ash Wednesday, March, or probably February, March. Anyway, we had the mass, and this we had the ashes imprinted on our foreheads. And this was when Sister Susan was a principal, and she didn't bring the preschoolers or the kindergartner ones because they're so tiny.
Yeah.
So she said afterwards, she said, Father, would you bring the ashes to the school and imprint the forehead of the children with the ashes? And what do you say? You know, remember you are dust, and to dust you shall return. Turn away from sin. Be faithful to the gospel. Well, so I'm wearing the vestment, and I remember it was snowing that day too. And it's this very purple, very ornate with gold in it, and it's just very, very ornate vestment. So I went over there with the vestment. I had the hand, on one hand I had the dish with the ashes. So I got to the preschoolers. So I thought, okay, to do this, for me to be comfortable, I'm going to have to kneel down at their level because they're the chiquititos, no? They're very, mm-hmm. like the munchkins.
The little ones.
So I knelt down, and the teacher had them all stand in a straight line, you know, and the first child came up to me, and the first thing he said was, I was Superman for Halloween. And so I thought, he thinks it's Halloween because I'm dressed
up. He's dressed.
So after that, every child told me what they were for Halloween. I'll never forget that.
They're so precious. Or the time, Father, when it was, I think it was the second graders, they went up for ash in the church, and you were putting the sign of the cross on their forehead, and then one of them, it just went all over the face.
Right.
And he was like blinking his eyes. He couldn't see.
And then what I try to do is, when it goes all over the face and I try to wipe it, and then it makes it worse. End up with black face, you know.
Yeah.
We're not good today. Speaking of children, too, we did the Stations of the Cross. I'll never forget this.
Mm.
I did the Stations with the first grade teacher. I think it was Miss Wilder. And she was a great teacher. Great teacher.
She was.
So we were doing the Stations, and, you know, we got to the crucifixion, and she started crying. She was so moved by the teacher.
The teacher.
And all the students spontaneously
came up.
They went up to her and they're patting her on the back and her
wiping
arm
her tears.
It's gonna be okay. It's
like, don't cry, don't cry.
It was so precious, awesome. Really beautiful. Children. Yes. My father was probably right. The children are to be seen, not heard. That was the policy around our house.
Especially
or if we ever went anywhere. If we went to rarely would we go out. We went to McDonald's once a year.
Wow.
That was a big treat. Once a year, we went to McDonald's, and we even had to stay in the car, and then we just would buy the bag, and we'd have to go home and we eat it at home. But that was once a year, no more than that. That was the only time we ever went out. I remember when we first moved to Florida, we had to go to a restaurant because we had to stay one night in a motel. And we went to eat breakfast, and they put grits on the plate, and none of us knew what grits were. You know, we thought it was oatmeal or some kind of a cream of wheat or something.
I always remember grits?
What are these grits? You just eat.
Just eat.
And you know, by the way, when we were never asked, "What do you want?"
Oh no!
This is what you're eating.
And if you don't want it, well, you're not eating.
Yep.
You're gonna start.
Exactly.
But this is not a restaurant.
Anyway, we'll take a break, and then we'll come back and look at some of these core values again, you know, so that's always kind of nice, because the innocence of children, right?
Yeah.
By the way, I was saying this at the meeting, you know, that I really, this is why I want to make Catholic education affordable for those who otherwise wouldn't be able to come to the Catholic school, because you do see a difference. You do see a difference. And I'm a public. I went to public schools. But that was a different era. That was a different time. Mm-hmm. And God bless all anybody who's in the teaching profession. Yeah. God bless them, because that is
that's truly a vocation.
Absolutely. Yeah. All right, everybody. Do not go away. We will be right back on Father Anthony on Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ.
St. Stanislaus Kostka Academy. St. Stan's is an exceptional private elementary school in Chicago, serving preschool, age 3 and 4, pre-kindergarten, kindergarten, and first grades. We incorporate Catholic values and rigorous academic social-emotional learning, Chinese, Spanish, STEM, and more, providing our students with leadership and life skills to transform our world. St. Stanislaus Kostka Academy is conveniently located one block north of Division on Noble, just off the Kennedy Expressway. To schedule your tour, visit ststanschicago.org. ststanschicago.org.
I'm Father Anthony Bush, pastor of St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy in Chicago, and you are listening to
The Winds of Change. The William Baker Festival Singers, directed by Dr. William O. Baker, is a 50-voice semi-professional chorale based in Kansas City. They will join us at St. Stanislaus Kostka Parish for the 5 p.m. Mass on Saturday, April 27th, to perform a short concert of sacred music immediately following liturgy. You are invited to be inspired by the beauty of the music as performed by the William Baker Festival Singers, who are sharing their gifts with us. On Saturday, April 27th, there is no charge for this concert, and there's plenty of free parking. St. Stanislaus Kostka Parish can be found two blocks north on Noble, off Division, adjacent to the Kennedy Expressway. Visit ststanschurch.org for more information.
Welcome back, everybody. Thanks for being with us. So we're going through, I just got back from my meeting with the bishop, and I was going over the mission and the vision and the core values. So I think we had just did the first one, the need for sacred silence, that God's voice be heard. Secondly, the Holy Eucharist is God's unique and perfect presence among us. We call that the sublime mystery of our faith, that the Lord chooses to remain with us, God with us, Emmanuel, under the hidden guise of bread and wine. We call that the Holy Eucharist. But that was one of the things that came up in the class too. What is Holy Eucharist? Eucharist, and you know, Thanksgiving, meaning gratitude. And it is, God is with us in many, many ways, but in a very unique and perfect way. He remains present to us in the consecrated bread and wine, which becomes his body, blood, soul, and divinity, transubstantiation. And we do not discard, because once that consecration takes place, it's permanent. That's why the Blessed Sacrament is kept in the tabernacle to be taken to the sick or to be used for other masses to distribute to people who receive, or also for the adoration of the Blessed Sacrament. Another core value here is the Blessed Virgin Mary's solicitous care and concern for her children. So here we really want to foster this relationship we have with the Holy Mother of God, who is our mother, you know, the last great gift before the gift of salvation, Jesus from the cross. He says, woman, behold your son, behold your mother. And John took her into his home, into his heart. And so the church has taken her, because John represents all of us. So we want to have an active, dynamic consciousness of the Blessed Virgin Mary's presence, her care, and concern for her children. And that's why the doors are open, because she had asked that we open the door, that we make her mother and queen of the parish. And we did that, and that's been something unique to our parish, is that we're open 24/7. We never shut or lock our doors. The only time we did was, unfortunately, during the pandemic. We had to. We had no choice. Another core value is the sacrificial and sacred character of the Church's mission and that of her members, that our mission is sacred and the character of our mission is sacrificial. And thank God I was, because with the eighth graders before I had to do the baby talk, they were very, I'm amazed at how they've caught on to that, you know, this is, it stays with them. So I said, how would you define our love, Christian love, Catholic love? How would you best define it? And they didn't hesitate to answer, sacrifice. Sacrificial. So I'm really happy about that. And that our mission is sacred, that we're to be the leaven, the salt, the light, God, as it were, abiding within us, that we become the very sacrament we consume. Another very important core value is the connection we have to our Jewish roots, the roots of our faith, and the religious and spiritual traditions of the Catholic faith as exemplified in the lives of the saints. And I think this is extremely important because we need to remain connected. We need to know where we've come from. And I always make reference to the Magnificat and the Blessed Virgin Mary and her beautiful prayer where she acknowledges God. She gives gratitude to God for having been merciful and having been faithful to the promise he made. She says, the promise you made to our father, Abraham. So I just love that because she identifies herself as one very much in communion, in union, very much connected to her ancestors. And so she doesn't say, thank you for having been faithful to the promise you made to Abraham, but she said to our father, Abraham, collectively speaking, our father, Abraham. And then she also said, all generations to come will call me blessed. We call her blessed for having been faithful to the word of God, the word God spoke to her, that she would be the mother of the Messiah and her fiat, her giving her consent to conceive God in the flesh by the grace and the power of the Holy Spirit. But this idea that we be connected to our tradition, that we don't forget where we've come from. I was just talking to a teacher, because Julian was here with his teacher, Mark. I forget his last name. He's a very, very strong Polish name. And he had just received a scholarship, and they stopped over here. He goes to St. Patrick's, but the scholarship was given at Holy Trinity. And so the this idea that, I was mentioning the mural we have in the church where you've got all the saints from the old, characters from the Old and the New Testament, and, that we need to be, these are our ancestors, just some of them. And as they did God's work in their time, they call out to us, shout out to us to do our work in our time, the only time we have, a little bit of time that we have. So we want to keep ourselves very much connected to where we've come from so that we know who we are and so that we know where we're going and what we need to hand on to those who come after us. So this connection to our Jewish roots and the religious and spiritual traditions of the Catholic faith as exemplified in the lives of the saints. You know, when you think about it, we talked about this the other day, but just making the sign of the cross, mm-hmm. You know, we take it for granted, but we've been doing that from the beginning. Before the gospel, we sign our foreheads with the sign of the cross, our lips, our hearts, without saying anything, it's just a gesture. You know, Christ be on my mind, on my lips, and in my heart. Let me speak. Let me think as you think. Let me speak as you speak. Let me feel with your heart. Another core value, which today is a little bit of a challenge, but humility, modesty, and hospitality to safeguard the sacred in the space of sanctuary. Humility, again, is a key virtue, you know, right? That there's this humility that this is something much bigger than us, that this is God's house and our common home, the sacred space, and we want to approach it in a spirit of humility. We can take pride in the beauty. We do. We certainly take pride in the beauty of our church, but the humility, too, it brings us to humbly recognize why the beauty is there in the first place, but to glorify God. And modesty, that I would dress in a way that would be appropriate so as not to cause scandal, so as not to offend God. I think this is where we become very, very lax in the church. And I think we really need to work on that, this idea of modesty for men and for women. A hospitality, certainly, to safeguard the sacred and the space of sanctuary. And part of that hospitality is respecting people's privacy. You know, to be together in communion, but no manipulation. It's just something I don't want here. The manipulation of people. We don't want to morph into entertainment or amusement, but we want to acknowledge. And I'll tell you, you know, especially the evening mass, everybody kind of knows everybody without knowing anybody. You know, they miss, when somebody's not there, they miss them. So there's a bond, there's a spiritual bond that is formed because everybody's bringing something into the church, into the sanctuary. I've mentioned before, and this is the beauty of the Catholic Mass, if it's done with reverence, if it's prayed with reverence, and if we keep our focus on the what is central, which is sacrifice, that brings us to communion. But if you have been, you just received some really, really bad news. Somebody in the family died. Somebody has gotten very sick. You've been diagnosed with a bad sickness. You lose a job. You don't know where your next meal is going to come from, whatever. But you come with that, sorrow, that sadness, carrying that cross. But the person next to you just got a raise, just was engaged to be married. A woman just found out she was going to have a baby. You know, they come with great joy. Mm-hmm. That both should be able to be side by side and equally enter into that sacrifice, show gratitude that God has created us, redeemed us, and wants to sanctify us, and that, true to his word, for those who love God, all things will work for the good. In other words, we will survive if we're in a bad space. That is very important. So hospitality is respecting that kind of freedom, that kind of, it's a respect for where people are at. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Detachment from many good things in life in order to be single-minded in our devotion to Christ, which is something that's really lacking today, is what we call asceticism. That we have to detach in order to attach to God. We have to create the space for God. That means we got to detach from the noise. We've got to detach from any. But we all know what we need to detach from in order to draw closer to God. So it's even a detachment from many good things. Many good things in order to be single-minded in our devotion to Christ. We'll take a break. Come back. I need a little break. This is coming out of this meeting. It really drained me for some reason, probably because I didn't pay that ticket that I was supposed to pay. You know, it's going to bother me now. Not really. Anyway, we'll be right back to Uncle Roy. I'm Father Anthony on Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ.
The William Baker Festival Singers, directed by Dr. William O. Baker, is a 50-voice semi-professional chorale based in Kansas City. They will join us at St. Stanislaus Kostka Parish for the 5 p.m. Mass on Saturday, April 27th, to perform a short concert of sacred music immediately following liturgy. You are invited to be inspired by the beauty of the music as performed by the William Baker Festival Singers, who are sharing their gifts with us. On Saturday, April 27th, there is no charge for this concert, and there's plenty of free parking. St. Stanislaus Kostka Parish can be found 2 blocks north on Noble, off Division, adjacent to the Kennedy Expressway. Visit stsandschurch.org for more information. The Winds of Change. St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy, is open 24 hours a day, 7 days per week, for adoration of the Blessed Sacrament in the iconic monstrance. The Blessed Sacrament is reposed during the celebration of Mass and during special events. St. Stan's doors are always open for adoration. Come anytime, day or night. St. Stan's is located 2 blocks north of Division on Noble, right off the Kennedy. Visit ststanschurch.org.
Welcome back, everybody. Thanks for being with us as we kind of wrap up today. So we're just going through the core values of our parish and sanctuary. Where do we leave off? Detachment from many good things in life in order to be single-minded in our devotion to Christ. And number one would be the fulfillment of the spiritual and the corporal works of mercy. I think I've got them here. Because one of these days I want to go through this let's see. I don't have them.
Corporal works of mercy.
Yeah. The corporal works of mercy would be, you know, feeding the sick and, you know, clothing the hungry, feeding the sick. I just can see how tired I am.
Feeding the hungry.
You got to feed the sick too. Feed the hungry.
Care them.
Tend to the sick. Clothe the naked. There's others too.
That's like the Beatitudes.
Well, it reminds me of kinds, yeah. It's all kind of
corporate
related,
works. Yeah. It reminds me of the Beatitudes.
The spiritual work of mercies would be praying for the dead, burying the dead, correcting those who are in a bad way. Gosh, I'm sorry. The corporal works of mercy: to feed the hungry, give drink to the thirsty, clothe the naked, visit the imprisoned, shelter the homeless, visit the sick, and bury the dead. Those are the corporal works of mercy. The spiritual works of mercy, to admonish the sinner, yeah, instruct the ignorant, counsel the doubtful, comfort the sorrowful, bear wrongs patiently, forgive all injuries, pray for the living and the dead. So that's another core value as well. Another core value: humble recognition that we are sinners and always in need of conversion. Humble recognition, which means humility, right? Mm-hmm. That we acknowledge that we are sinners, and that's how we begin Mass. I was telling the children that yesterday too, because apart from confession, because we had to talk about why you don't always have to go to confession. They had their first confession last week. But every day we have to ask God to forgive us our sins. Forgive us our sins. That's why at the end of the day, make an examination of your conscience. And every time we go into Mass, that's one of the first things we do, is acknowledge that we are sinners. And you could pray the Confiteor beautifully.
Yeah.
But also, two other times during the Mass, even within the Eucharistic prayer, but the Agnus Dei, Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world, have mercy on us. And even before we receive communion, Lord, I am not worthy that you come under my roof, say but only the word, and my soul will be healed. So to even explain to that, what does that mean? Lord, come under my roof. You know that God wants to abide within you, within the home of your life. We humbly recognize that we are sinners always in need of conversion. And then the last two, a joy in the incomprehensible desire of God to transform us through his mercy, that God wants to transform us. It's his will to transform us through his mercy, so that we take joy in the fact that God remains with us. It doesn't mean to hurt us. He doesn't want to hurt us. The world will hurt us. Free reign of the flesh will hurt us. The devil will diminish, divide, destroy, certainly hurt us. God does not. Even if he should chastise or punish, it's to bring us, to save us from ourselves, to save us from ourselves. So this joy in the incomprehensible desire of God to transform us through his mercy. And then finally, the last core value is vigilance and persevering prayer in preparation for the second coming of Christ. I think this is very important. And every Mass we pray is an anticipation of the second coming of Christ, but that we be vigilant and we persevere in prayer, even if the world goes on 1,000 years, you know, our days certainly are numbered. We're here for a very short time. So that, in a nutshell, is our mission, vision, and core values. We've got just a minute. Any last commentary or last word or so from either of you?
Christina?
Well, all I have to say is that there's a lot that we're doing here at the parish, the vision. And sometimes I think that people have lost the vision and the mission. We forget, and we have to be reminded.
Right.
Yes, God has called us.
What's key, and that's as I wanted to begin that with the meeting this morning with the bishop, is to maintain, sustain, and grow the mission. Mm-hmm. You know, that the church is open. We're here for, you know, anybody and everybody. They come through the door for this encounter, mm-hmm, with God, because we believe God is present uniquely in a distinct way, the most sublime mystery of our faith in the Holy Eucharist, and that there's a power that emanates from that sacrament, Christ present among us, to do the very thing he did in the gospel, to bring healing, to instruct, to remind us that we've been created, redeemed, and that it's his will to bring us into our true selves as created in his image and likeness. So everything else will flow from that. Mm-hmm. All right, everybody, thanks for being with us. Thanks for being with us. I was going to say have a nice weekend, but no, tomorrow's
tomorrow.
Friday. So God bless you all. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Peace. Amen. Be with you, Chuck.
Amen.
What's there to say when the world makes no sense? Do we search deeper truths or sit on the fence? Can you see? Can you see? Can you see the winds have changed? We marvel and flatter such meaningless thought. The shell appears strong, but the inside is rot. It's time to be stirred. The time is now. The winds have changed.